they start speaking to Magnus. How does somebody get a name like Magnus?
Well, don't ask. It wasn't anything to do with me. It was a name given to me by the creative team. I actually believe it was the brainchild of Dixie Carter. I heard that after I came in. It was Dutch Mantel, who was on the creative team at the time, who was the guy who told me later on that she had, I guess they'd sort of brainstormed about, you know, a gladiator and, you know, Romans and all this kind of stuff. And I don't know where it came from, but, you know, it stuck.
Well, you mentioned gladiators then. So, you know, let's paint the story here a little bit. You're a British guy wrestling in the States, I guess now living in the States.
Yep.
But you are pretty well known in this country from being a gladiator, as in...
Yes.
Here come the gladiators, all that type of stuff.
Yeah, more well known for that. I mean, up until a point. It's interesting now that every time I come back and when I'm out in public, it used to be, I would say, around sort of 80% of the people would recognize me from that show first, and then maybe familiar with the fact that I'm a pro wrestler and working for TNA. But every time I come back, it's becoming more and more, oh, you're that wrestler who was a gladiator, or, you know, or they're familiar with both, or they're just familiar. I get more and more people are recognizing me purely for my role as Magnus, you know, for TNA Wrestling. So that's a great indication of how far the company's come in terms of its positioning here in the UK market.
Is it quite strange, though? I think Challenge TV back here, they show both TNA wrestling, but also the repeats of the kind of relaunch.
I'm all over that channel. I'm still waiting for the thank you card, if I'm honest. I mean, you know, I heard that in the space of one time slot, it went straight from the pay-per-view straight to, you know, a rerun, and the first thing people saw after the show was me. So, I mean, I'm all over that channel. I'm Mr. Challenge, I think, is the new title that's been coined for me, Mr. Challenge TV.
You're not the only British competitor involved in TNA Impact, and indeed across the whole of the US scene. What is it about the British guys going over to America over the last few years? How has this come about, and how much is it because of a British influence on the American style?
I wouldn't say it's as much to do with the British influence on the style as it is to do with really just the business viability. You only have to look at the figures and the live attendances to understand that we have a huge market, and it just makes good business sense to have somebody that represents that market. And it's been that way for quite some time. There was certainly, you know, way before my generation came along, there was the Bulldogs, and there was Fit Finlay and Regal, and then Dave Taylor and those guys. And then, Regal really carried the load for a long time, pretty much by himself. And that's not to take anything away from Fit Finlay, because he had a horrific injury. And obviously he's from Northern Ireland, but, you know, sort of the British Isles, and people kind of encompass the whole British Isles as to sort of from over there. I think it's always been necessary to have a British character. I think in recent years, there's certainly been more of a influence of British characters in American television, period. I mean, if you look at the moment, I mean, X-Men, a lot of the guys in Hollywood, you know, suddenly English guys are leading men now. And I mean, Hugh Laurie is a great example of someone who's had a tremendous success. And I think that, I'm not going to say that Americans have been ignorant about British talent, but perhaps they're finally starting to understand that, okay, we don't have to just sort of pigeonhole these guys and look at them as purely just that British guy. They're just starting to... The world's becoming a smaller place. I mean, with social media and television and everything and the ability to travel, people aren't as sort of necessarily perhaps, you know, they're more accepting of foreigners now. And I think that, you know, really the popularity of wrestling in the UK obviously gives rise to a lot more people who want to then do it. You know, it's why the best athletes become the highest paid, because, you know, they go for whatever's popular. And the same can be said of wrestling. My generation, like, I'm 24, and, you know, like Wade Barrett, you know, he's in his late 20s. He's a friend of mine, and Sheamus and Drew and all those guys who are sort of my generation. We came from a generation where wrestling was so popular that obviously, you know, it's going to attract more people. And they think, and so guys like us who are good talents go, that's what I want to do. you know, I'm gonna lend my skills and my talent to this. That's what I want to do. I want to be that guy.
With all that said, though, I mean, you know, being a fan growing up or whatever and thinking, oh, I want to do that for a living. I mean, there's a lot of guys around Britain who sort of think, oh, I want to go and do that. And they never really amount to much, whether it be because of a lack of talent or a lack of size. I mean, certainly you've got that on your side as well. How, you know, kind of amazing is it to think that, you know, something you started doing, you know, as a teenager, I suppose, is now your kind of full-time job when there's so many people wanting to do that and so few places to actually go and do it?
I do feel very privileged to be one of the very few people who can make a full-time living from this job. But I will say this, that I've been making a full-time living from wrestling since I was 19 years old. I mean, with the exception of getting the Gladiators gig and a couple of acting jobs, this has been my only profession from the age of 19. You don't have to just be on television, but I know what you're saying. I mean, I wasn't making a good living, I'll say that. But I never lose sight of the fact that I'm very fortunate to be one of the few people, and especially for my age, you know, like I've been under contract now for almost 3 years. So to be one of the very few people who can be making a good living and being, you know, in the spotlight for wrestling and doing it as a job. But that's because I committed to it 100%. The same can be said of any profession, any sort of entertainment profession, where, you know, there are a million people out there who think that they're a great singer. I mean, look at X Factor. I mean, that's Simon Cowell made a business out of people coming and auditioning who have no talent. And I'm not talking about the people who win. I'm talking about the people who just come to the tryouts and the auditions and stuff and are making a fool of themselves, because deep down, a lot of people believe that they can actually do it. And I mean, that's great. But, you know, the truth is that I think that when you look at the independent scene and stuff in the UK, there is a lot of great talent, actually. It's unfortunate that there is some not so great talent out there that perhaps can cause a bit of a stigma, or, you know, can sort of bring the reputation down. But truthfully, if you look hard enough, there are some fantastic talent out there. I mean, we all came from the independent scene here, so it's out there.
Well, name some names then. What about some of the guys who are coming up? I know, for instance, there's a guy called Marty Skirl, who's a good friend of yours.
He is a good friend of mine. Even if he was not, I would say that I would absolutely label him as a potential star. He's a great, great talent, great look. Great personality and an incredible athlete. And he's a guy who springs to mind. There's a guy called Dave Mastiff who springs to mind, who's an incredibly unique character and performer. I'm a big fan. People find this ironic coming from me, being I'm sort of 6'4 and 250 and tan and, you know, and in shape and everything else. So people sort of, you know, think that I must be into the sort of generic kind of meathead kind of persona, but really not. And I'm a big fan of the unique characters. I believe that wrestling is at its best when it's a variety show. Dave is a prime example of that. He's maybe 6 foot, but like, you know, close to 300 pounds, and he's this big, solid, like powerhouse, you know, but he wears trunks and boots, and, you know, and he's scary, but he's such an incredible athlete. And, you know, he's a guy who is so unique, and I think that when he's showcased correctly, could be a huge deal, either here or maybe in Japan.
Is it kind of weird because of the way you're kind of positioned within TNA wrestling in a general sense? You're there to be a bad guy. You're there to get the crowd to boo you, and you're there to, you know, put one over on the good guys. But when you come back to Britain, it's kind of completely the other way around, sort of thing. How difficult is it to kind of, you know, approach that, I suppose?
It was difficult. In the sense of you, because you're never 100% sure of who, of you know, whether or not they're actually going to do that. You can hope and you can assume, but you never want to really go into a crowd under the assumption that they're going to react a certain way. Certainly, the first time that we returned here as our British characters, you know, the very first time I wrestled for TNA was actually on this tour, but obviously I was fairly unknown, with the exception, obviously, they're familiar with my character on Gladiators, but as a wrestler, you know, wrestling fans are very, very proud of wrestling, so as a wrestler I was virtually unknown. But, you know, when we came back and I sort of was returning as this, you know, as an established character on television, I was blown away by the response. People would say it to me a lot. Oh, you know, you guys are going to get, you know, cheered out of the building kind of thing. But you never really knew, particularly when you were on with acts like Beer Money, who were so popular. But, you know, I'm sure I can speak for Doug as well when I say that, like, we were, you know, really blown away by the response we got. Like, we did a thing where we came out in Bournemouth and we actually ended up turning against the people, you know, as like a kind of, as a kind of double swerve. But, like, when we first walked out, I mean, it blew the roof off the place. And that was a very, very special feeling. And the same thing when we wrestled Beer Money with Flair in Manchester. You know, like, we really wondered then what the people were going to be like, because it was, not only is it Beer Money, but it's Ric Flair. And it was a complete 50-50, and it was a really unique dichotomy of fan support. And it was really fun, actually. And it is a proud moment. You know, I'm not overly patriotic. You know, I'm just as proud of sort of being a kind of, you know, adopted American as I am as being British. But I appreciate the fact that they are proud of what I've done and that I've come from this country.
One last one then. You just talked about him there. Doug Williams, your tag team partner for TNA Impact Wrestling. Mm-hmm. A guy who's been around the scene for a long time, and it really took him a long time to kind of get a chance, I suppose, in the States or in Japan or something like that. But here's a guy, I mean, he's so respected throughout the industry. Just tell us a bit about teaming with him.
Doug and I go quite far back. I've been in the business for, I'd say, like 5 years now. I did a few training camps when I was like 17, when I was still doing my A-levels and stuff, but then kind of really immersed myself in it when I got to like 19. And one of the places I was training was a school down in Essex, and Doug would come in from time to time to be a sort of guest trainer, just, you know, lend a hand. And Johnny Storm would do the same thing, who's another kind of veteran of the British scene, and a lot of the old timers from the World of Sport days would come in and help out as well. So it was really cool, sort of, to be able to take from a lot of different expertise. But Doug, from that, sort of took me under his wing a little bit and kind of spotted me and put and recommended me to a few regional promoters. And then, you know, we were familiar with each other, as you are with everybody in the scene. He'd been used by TNA a few times for different shots here and there, and he was doing very well in Japan. He has a great reputation over there with his stuff with Noah. When I started with TNA, he was doing a few shows for them, and I guess the idea came about fairly quickly. It seemed like a natural fit because we play off each other well. Doug is, we kind of, you know, we're not opposites, but we contrast each other well in terms of our physical appearance, and then with Doug's style being so sort of grounded and kind of serious and respected, and then I'm more flamboyant and, you know, more of a showman and much more of the mouthpiece and the face of the team for a while, and then we had Rob added to it as well as the kind of muscle. It was a natural fit, and it was good. It worked. It was a great act, and it worked for me because it was useful to be able to pick Doug's brain and to. We knew together we had chemistry, and we always have, and we were able to channel that and create this unique act for ourselves, and that was why, you know, we had such a great time, especially through that sort of that first year that we were a team.